Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network. I drink it up.
All right, now that we've put Joe Dog out in his doghouse for the night, me and Jimmy TV are going to continue discussing some TV that Jose was not privy to. First off, we haven't had a podcast in a while. The last one we have had between me and Jay Skies involved a lot of Walking Dead talk. And so I believe that was 3 episodes ago. So now that we're solidly in the second half of the second season, and in fact, I think there's only 2 episodes left.
Yep.
How do we feel the second half has gone so far?
Well, I've been enjoying it. I can tell everyone that you haven't been because they're still on the farm.
I mean, yes, they are still on the farm. Luckily, they do usually get off the farm, at least in the first 2 episodes since we've talked. They ended up getting off the farm. But, of course, they returned to it. But I have been keeping up with it. I have to say, I don't know what it is. I feel like season 1 was just so much better. I don't know if that's just because it seemed like the season 1, the characters were more dynamic.
Well, we saw them a lot more, I would say. I mean, in the past few episodes of The Walking Dead, I mean, I think T-Dog said one word and maybe 2 episodes, and that's been T-Dog's contributions besides being called T-Dog a couple of times, mm-hmm. which is just hilarious. Hearing Rick call him T-Dog, like yelling T-Dog to go get a sawed-off shotgun was literally, I literally laughed out loud when that happened.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be in a big dramatic, part of the show, as we're getting to the end of that episode where obviously something goes down, and here I am laughing hysterically because T-Dog is running to go get a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like most of the characters are really one-dimensional this season. I don't know if maybe it's just because they were one-dimensional last season but we didn't know them well enough,
mm-hmm.
or if they just have lost something. But it seems like Shane is clearly just this deranged lunatic almost now.
Well, Shane's interesting because obviously we see a different side, whether it's fake or not. I'm not really sure. But whenever he's around Rick, obviously he's different than when he's around anyone else.
I mean, he defers to Rick, that's for sure. But I mean, you can still tell that he's thinking and wanting to do the thing. Just go crazy and just kill a bunch of shit. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's done much. I mean, we get the fact that he got changed or whatever when he shot Otis in the leg, so that, basically sacrificing Otis to the zombies so that he could get away. But we never really, he hasn't really dealt with that at all. He's just kind of, we didn't see him really deal with that. We just saw him shave his head, and since then, he's just been this curmudgeon that's Rick doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. We need to start, we just need to start being mean to everyone sort of thing. So.
Right. Right.
I don't know, and it just seems like a lot of the characters this season have been fairly one-dimensional, and I think that is kind of hindering my enjoyment of the show. The other thing I would have to say is that it doesn't seem to be as suspenseful anymore when the walkers or the zombies do come up. I feel like in season 1 there was some real stake when they came up or anything, but I think due to the fact that they really haven't killed anyone off until this past episode, it seems like whenever the walkers come up, you're expecting something almost a little campy as opposed to something dramatic.
I kind of see what you're saying. I mean, they definitely, for whatever reason, feel the need to go over the top with how they kill zombies when it doesn't have to be ridiculous, Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like in season 1 they had some ridiculous kills too, but they didn't focus on those. It happened, but then there was other stuff going on. My thing with it is in the episode where Rick and Glenn and Herschel are trying to get away from the group
mm-hmm.
that they killed those two people from in the first episode.
Yeah.
And then the zombies come out of nowhere. Like, I don't really feel any suspense for that because I no one had died yet, and I just didn't feel like anyone was going to die, and of course no one did.
Right.
Plus the fact that, I mean, they were sitting at that fence for 2 minutes while the zombies were, like, slowly crawling towards them. That didn't really help the suspense when they were trying to figure out what to do with the kid and his leg. So,
right.
I don't know. I feel like it's much more about how the zombie is killed as opposed to, holy crap, they're zombies, you know?
Right. I mean, I absolutely disagree with you. I thought when they were trying to decide what to do with the kid, it was really suspenseful, even though the zombies were moving in at a very slow rate. I thought that they did a good job with switching camera angles, just editing the hell out of it and making it seem like it was happening a lot quicker than obviously it was, because these zombies obviously don't move that fast. And to be honest, I'm still a little thrown off by the physicality, I guess, of the zombies. How can they get stuck in mud but then be able to rip open your rib cage? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things that don't make much sense. Like, there was that throwaway line, not this past week, but the week before, where they're going to drop off the kid. Well, I can't remember what the kid's name is.
Yeah,
they're going to drop... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about if they were bitten or scratched, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, basically, Rick is like, oh, these guys weren't bitten, but they must have been scratched. And I'm just thinking, like, there have been so many, like, you can contract a zombie virus from getting scratched. Why can't you contract it when, like, a zombie is laying on top of you, bleeding all over you?
Right.
Like, you have open wounds. Like, later in that episode, Rick has open wounds on his head. There's no way, like, not a drop of zombie blood got into this open wound.
No, definitely.
So, like, I just understand, like, clearly they're setting that up for, you know, someone ending up getting scratched.
To get scratched, yeah.
But it's just so ridiculous, because on the one hand, you're like, okay, well, that makes sense, but then, and three scenes later, you know, zombie blood is being blown all over Rick's face, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, I thought you just said if you get a scratch, you turn into a zombie.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that definitely upset me. And then also this whole they're doing the same thing that they did in the first half of the season now. Like, I feel like they're back there, except this time it's this whole stupid argument about what to do with this kid. Like, they're bogged down in this storyline. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Like,
where they're taking an entire episode to answer one question that should be answered in 5 minutes.
Well, they've taken two episodes of what they should do with the guy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And I mean, I understand that once they found out that he knew where Maggie's farm was, that kind of changed things, or he knew who Maggie was from high school. But still, it's just like they're getting bogged down in the storyline that ultimately doesn't really affect anything. Like, they're either going to kill him or they're not going to kill him. And what I found hilarious was that this didn't come up until about midway through last night's episode, is that everyone was like, the reason for them killing this kid was because they were afraid that his group was going to come find him. And I was I was just thinking, if you kill him, they're not going to know he's dead. They're not going to all of a sudden be like, oh, he's dead, let's go. You know, if they're looking for him, they're going to continue looking for him.
You would think so. But then I guess at the same time, they're worried that the farm is such a isolated, self-sustainable place that maybe the 30 or so people are going to want to stay there, where obviously the farm would become not sustainable.
Oh,
with
yeah, not at all. I'm just saying, like, until about halfway through, where Dale was like, just because you kill him doesn't mean that they're going to stop searching. I just kept on thinking, come on, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't. There's two episodes left, so I really hope they figure this out by the end of the next episode, if not before then. Because if not, then it's just the same exact thing as the first half of the season. They're just getting bogged down in this one storyline that clearly has had no effect on anything, because there's, you know, the first half of the season was all about whether or not they're going to stay on the farm.
The show needs to figure out what it's going to be about, and right now it's not about anything good.
Exactly. It's I guess what was so good about the first season is that they're trying to survive.
Right.
And in this season, it's more like they're trying to settle down.
Right, right. And you.
And you know that the event that eventually
that this isn't a place that they can settle down. Like this isn't where that would happen. So what the why the hell are we spending so much time on this?
Exactly, exactly. And then of course, I mean, I'm not surprised that Dale, you know, got.
Well, see, this is, see, I mean, it seemed like. From what I've read and stuff like that, it seemed like they were trying to go. They were kind of fighting back to going back to how the comic books were, how the graphic novels are. But I think Dale is still alive in the graphic novel, so so them killing him off was obviously a big deal. But what throws me off a little bit is are they just doing that to do it? Are they just doing it to not be the comic book? You know. Because it kind of seems like they are. It kind of seems like they're just doing stuff like that to have shock value because they don't do it any other time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in all honesty, they should have been killing off a lot more of these people that either we see, you know, like T-Dog. You know, what the hell is T-Dog doing?
Well, I mean, the thing with killing off Dale, I think, is that Dale actually was a somewhat central figure in the series, but he wasn't clearly like a main figure. You know,
right.
he was under Daryl, but you know, he clearly means more than Sophia T-Dog. And T-Dog, and probably even Carol. Is that her name?
Yeah, Carol.
Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he means more than that. So I think what they were going with that was like, okay, we can't have another thing where Sophia dies. You know, we can't just kill off T-Dog when he said five lines all season, you know? Like, they felt that they needed to kill off someone. And really, I mean, Dale's character was going absolutely nowhere. He was saying the same stuff over and over again. And
which they mentioned, which I thought was kind of funny. They did kind of play that up. That I mean, they told Dale, you know, when he was kept trying to try to convince people that they shouldn't kill him. They were like, Dale, you know, you're just going in circles. Like, how many times do we have to hear you say?
Yeah, this? Exactly. Or hear him say, Shane's a beast. You know, like we know what you think of Shane.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's I think it's supposed to be like an oh my god, they killed off a main guy, but he's not really a main guy. He was there, but he had nothing to do anymore, so they killed him off. What they really should have done is they should have killed Herschel.
Yeah, I thought that would have been kind of cool, I guess.
Because if they killed Herschel, then all of a sudden the idea of Herschel's farm no longer exists because it's not Herschel.
Right.
So what does the group do? Do they try to take over the farm with, like, because the only people left from Herschel's family are the two girls and Maggie and the one that wants to commit suicide, and then I guess her boyfriend, which we haven't seen since, like, episode two. But, yeah, so that would have created an interesting story plot where, like, they're like, well, we can either take over the farm or we have to leave because it's there, you know, like that could have created a little tension and finally settled the whole farm thing. But
no,
Dale does nothing. It's just, oh my god, Dale's dead, but who cares really, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
But what are you hoping for? I mean, do you have anything to say about these past three episodes? Or?
Well, I guess more, I hope the big thing this season, these last two episodes, I hope the big thing is not a confrontation with the group of 30 other live people. Mm-hmm. I hope it's something else. If it's that, I'm going to be disappointed.
So you basically don't want the group of 30 dudes to descend upon.
Well, like you said, the end of the season needs to be them leaving the farm. For whatever reason, however thing, they need to get off the farm before the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not off this, I mean, people are going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed. I don't even know if I could watch it again if they're not off the damn farm by the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
So are you thinking maybe... would you like to see a group schism, and do you think that is where the show should go? Do you want to see Andrea and Shane and, I don't know, Daryl maybe, like, go off on their own and then
Rick the problem with that is you just said the three most intriguing characters were going to go off on their own.
Well, yeah, I mean, they'd have to, like, split the episodes up so that we see part of Shane's group and then part of Rick's group. It's clearly not like the three best characters would leave and then we would never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, do you think that a schism is going to happen, or? Because, I mean, they definitely had that one part in the last show, in this last episode, where, like, Shane and Andrea were talking, and Andrea agreed with Shane about, like, how the group was being run or whatever. So I feel like they were clearly still stoking those fires of Shane and perhaps some others breaking off from the group. So do you think, is that where you want the season to end, or what do you think?
I want to see more dire things, I guess. I want them to get back into the survival mode. I want to see more people die, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, like half the cast.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I want to see the farm overrun by zombies. Can we make that happen?
Okay, and then I assume they would all flee
and die. Yeah, and we get back into the survival mode. I mean, it's ridiculous that this group of 12 people is trying to just hang out on a farm and let this thing run its course. Like, what the hell is that?
I mean, I think that is probably where it's going to go. I don't know if maybe the farm does end up getting overrun and then there's a group schism or not. But I definitely do think that, I mean, someone's going to overrun the farm, whether it's those people or those zombies.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
What'd you think about that zombie, chasing, the kid back to the farm, if that's what you would call it, could call it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That's the same zombie that killed Dale.
Right, it was the one that was stuck in the mud that freed itself when the kid was down there. Do you think that the zombie chased him up there, or do you think that was just coincidental? Like, what is, why show that? Why have it be the same zombie, I guess?
I mean, it's either got to point to, well, okay. It's got to point to two things. It's either one, that's a formative moment in Carl's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, clearly Carl, this past episode for Carl was really weird because he's never acted like this before in the entire show.
No, it was, yeah.
He's either been, like, a little kid, or he's been, like, this stoic, like, don't worry about me, I'm cool. And then in this one, he's basically just, like, this little pissant.
Yeah,
like,
he was super annoying in this past episode.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that was to point to Carl being, like, I guess he's got to grow up, even though he seemed really grown up until this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is saying that the zombies can follow you, then wouldn't all of those fucking zombies from the previous episode at the school follow Rick and Shane back?
Right, exactly.
So is that where you're going with that?
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Or maybe that's where I'm thinking the show might be trying to go.
I mean, I guess I could understand that. I don't know really the logistics of it or anything, but I guess that would make sense. But, I mean, I don't know. This season has definitely been like a quagmire of nothingness.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And the issues, like, I thought the issue where, in this past episode, this will probably be the last thing, I thought the issue in this past episode where Daryl was Dale was like, you know, you kill this guy, then all of a sudden civilization is over or whatever. Not only was it naive, because clearly, like, things have changed, but they could have easily made that point over multiple episodes as opposed to just having this one episode focus around it.
On that.
So I feel like what they've done has been sort of clunky in their planning of the episodes and what happens and stuff. So hopefully, I mean, clearly everyone knows the production problems with the show, so maybe that has something to do with it. But hopefully season 3 ends up being a little better in the fact that they actually have some stuff go on or whatever. But yeah, enough Walking Dead.
All right, well, first off, Jenny TV break a news story for you. Fox has canceled Terra Nova. I repeat, Fox has canceled Terra Nova.
Oh, God. And everyone is weeping.
I kind of enjoyed the episodes that I saw, but I didn't bother to even finish the first season, so I can't say I'm too upset, but yeah.
Okay, well, Jimmy TV, thank you for your inside sources.
No problem.
Speaking of dead things and dead TV, why don't we discuss the new hot show out there? Pilot just aired last Thursday.
Is it hot? I mean, are people are enjoying it?
I mean, I don't know if people are enjoying it, but it's gotten a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
So we're, of course, talking about Awake, NBC's new drama.
Hmm.
Jimmy TV, what do you have to say about this?
I really enjoyed the first 5 minutes of it, I guess the opening part of it, and especially for those of you that don't know, Jason Isaac plays somebody, and he gets in a car wreck. The series starts with him in a car wreck. They show him talking to B.D. Wong, who you'd recognize from Law & Order SVU.
Fan, yeah.
Yeah.
He's so good at playing a psychologist.
Really analyzing some stuff. And they're kind of spinning around, and they have them talking about I think in that world his wife's dead from the car wreck, and then they're kind of rotating around, and then they kind of show you him talking to another psychologist, and in that world his other person's dead. Basically what it boils down to is every time the guy goes to sleep, he switches between worlds, I guess. Is that kind of how you would basically explain it, Bags?
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah, when he goes to sleep, he awakens in the other world, in the parallel universe, if you will,
right.
Where his son is alive or his wife is alive. I think they did a really good job of, like, distinguishing the two worlds. Clearly the two different psychiatrists or psychologists help. Then they also do the nice little...
The rubber band thing.
Yeah, they had the rubber band thing as well. That's good. And that actually comes up in the middle of the episode, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I was going to say... film production-wise, they put the nice little filter on the camera so that the son's world, it looks a little bluer, and the wife's world looks a little redder or warmer.
I'm not sure I noticed that. I'll have to check that out.
I mean, it's not hugely noticeable. It's not like The Matrix, where, like, everything just looks crazy green.
Right.
But it's definitely subtle, and it's definitely there, so I think that definitely helps. But so you didn't enjoy the last 40 minutes?
No. I guess what I immediately started thinking was, how are they going to make it a TV series? I thought the idea was great on its own, and that it would end up being a really good longish movie, maybe mini series. But I guess I don't see how it can be a multi-seasonal show.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the worry. The guy who created this also created Lone Star.
Oh, jeez.
From last year. And apparently that was – all the critics really liked that and stuff. But they had the same issues with that show as, like, okay, the pilot is awesome, but, like, where is this show going to go? And so it got canceled because it wasn't going anywhere. But apparently the creator actually has a plan for this. And I was thinking, I mean, there's only four possible outcomes we've got here, right? We've got – Jason Isaacs, either the wife or the son is alive.
Either one of the worlds is a reality.
Yeah, and one is a dream. Hmm. Or this is like Jason Isaacs in purgatory, a lostish sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or he's like in a coma.
Hmm.
And then like somewhere in like season 3 or 4, he'll wake up and realize either they're both still alive or they're both dead. Once he's made his choice of who he loves more or whatever.
Right, right. His Sophie's choice.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are the only real things that could happen unless, you know, just some crazy out-of-the-park thing, you know, just comes out of nowhere. But I think those are the only four options that he's got. Or they're all – or he's in the coma and they're both alive or they're both dead.
Or all of them are dead, yeah. So. But my other huge note was the tennis was I just wrote down tennis instructor. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The tennis coach. What we're all assuming to be are supposed to assume to be Jason Isaac's love interest in the world where his wife did die. Yeah. Who's literally? I mean, it's just so obvious that you have to wonder about it. You know, the fact that she's this tennis player, which his wife was, and that she obviously already has this great rapport with the son.
Yeah, maybe a little love triangle there.
Yeah, something like that.
I wanted to ask something.
And actually, I think she was I was on IMDb looking at what else she was in. I think she was in an episode or two of Law & Order SVU also.
Nice. NBC's really going back to the SVU well.
Yeah.
I would have to say the wife definitely doesn't seem to be that great of an actress.
No. I didn't enjoy her that much either. Not as much as the Michael and Rex scenes, at least. I'm looking at their names right now.
Yeah.
The father-son scenes.
What I wanted to ask you was, how do you feel about the detective serial part of the show?
Okay, First, let me say that I was very impressed by Wilder Valderrama.
Okay.
Because I think that should be said right off the bat. That I initially saw him and was like, oh shit, are they really going to try to make this guy serious right now? And then I was pleasantly surprised with his acting.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My first question was going to be, do we think it's necessary? I mean, you've already got this great interplay of trying to figure out which world is real and which world isn't, and clearly the psychiatrists are, like, you know, trying to help. Like, I thought it was an interesting point where, like, the one woman psychiatrist was like, all right, read what I just printed out, pick a random page. And then she's like, have you ever memorized the Constitution? How could you, if you haven't, how could you?
How could you train yourself to do that, yeah.
Exactly. So I think we already have, like, this awesome kind of storyline revolving around that.
And just his relationship with his wife and his kid on top of that.
And just trying to figure out which one is real and him trying to figure out which one is real too, you know? Like, yeah. Clearly we're not going to be the only ones.
And it definitely seemed the parallels that they made between the two cases definitely seemed forced, you know, and just not necessary. Like, we get it. Like, no, we get it that you know, everything is all linked up and whatnot. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You don't need to do that.
Not only that, but in the season preview, if you will, it looks like some of the links won't end up being links, and it'll
fuck up the cases.
But I'm just wondering, like, do we even think that this is all necessary? Like, it just seems I'm not going to say it seems tacked on, because I think for the most part it was actually all right, the detective part. But it just seems like it's almost too much, you know. But I guess maybe you need that. I mean, since this is only the pilot episode, we've only seen one episode, maybe you need that in, like, episode 40.
Right, like, maybe...
You're still questioning which world is which, and like, God damn it, this is fucking awful.
Yeah, we just... Well, got this detective stuff. Too. You would certainly... What would end up happening is they would start doing less of the which world's the real world stuff and more of the episodic story arcs to prolong that other one, just to prolong and give it a little bit more suspense.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not sure how the cases or what have you would tie into that seasonal arc. So,
I mean, yeah, I guess we'll. I mean, I hope that it ends up becoming less different case every week, and maybe at least at some point there's like a serial killer or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that could be kind of interesting, but. I guess we'll see. Clearly, I'd say the pilot definitely didn't need that, but I guess, you know, if you are planning down the road, you're going to need something a little bit more than the 70th time the psychiatrist is like, you know, this world's the real one because you ate ice cream or something, you know?
Right, because you knew how that strawberry ice cream tasted.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see where it is, but I think it definitely has some potential, and Jason Isaacs was definitely
He was awesome. So. Yeah, he was fantastic.
Unfortunately, he's not wearing an awesome long blonde
powdered wig. Yeah, maybe at some point.
Or he's not hunting down Mel Gibson through Revolutionary War times either.
With the magic axe, the magic tomahawk.
Mm-hmm. In any case, do you have anything else? Oh, one thing I wanted to say. I thought the one scene in the middle of the episode where he wakes up and his wife isn't there and the wristband isn't on his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was definitely an interesting thing.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, obviously that's what he goes by. He every morning he wakes up, looks at his wrist to see if he's wearing the red or the green one.
Yeah.
And if one of them's not on him, he loses his shit.
He loses his shit. Although it definitely was weird that the wife didn't hear him at all, and then all of a sudden just like snuck up behind him.
Was there?
Him,
so. Yeah, I was right at his side.
Yeah, but so I hope some more of that stuff happens as well, where maybe
a little more ambiguous as to what world we're in.
Yeah, maybe not even that, or maybe it's more like both of the worlds are dream worlds, and he's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where the show goes. But Jimmy TV, do you got any other TV shows to mention for us?
No, not right now. I mean, most shows seem to either be ending their season or going on hiatus until the May sweeps. So it's kind of a downtime, I would say, and new shows coming up. Alcatraz is still decent. I think there were two episodes today, so I'm going to need to go back and watch both of those. I'm not sure there's too much else to talk about.
All right. I assume we'll be hearing your thoughts on the third season of Eastbound sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Also, I've really enjoyed watching Illegally Spartacus, the new Spartacus season, if people are interested in that at all.
Have you watched any of the previous Spartacus seasons?
Oh, yeah. I actually own both of the other two seasons of it. The lead guy is not nearly as good as the guy who passed away, but outside of that, it's still pretty entertaining.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, people, take a look at that if you like a little Spartacus.
Yeah.
Before we shut this thing down, before we shut the TV off, we're just going to push the auxiliary button here. We're going to get into a little video game talk, mainly the announcement, the leak of information and pictures, and then the release of
the trailer
for the next Assassin's Creed.
To come out in October.
Yes.
Very soon.
Before we get into this, I'd just like to say I've played Assassin's Creed 1 and 2. I did not play the offshoots of Assassin's Creed 2, which were Brotherhood and Revelations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't played those, but I probably will end up getting Assassin's Creed 3.
Batman, you should really get one of them, because I'm sure a lot of the mechanics are going to be based off of the newer ones. And I can tell you I've played those three. I played Brotherhood first, then Revelations, then actually went back and got the second one and played it. And I can tell you that Brotherhood is far and away the easiest one, control-wise.
Is Brotherhood the latest one to come out?
No, it's not. Revelations is.
Okay.
But I would say Brotherhood is the best of the three as far as I'm concerned, at least.
Okay. In any case, all the leaked information, or the now released information, revolving around Assassin's Creed 3, we are finally moving out of Renaissance Italy, and
yep.
We are going to colonial America. Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
Apparently it's going to be a 30-year span between 1753, which I guess is the French and Indian War.
French and Indian War, yeah.
And then it's going to go all the way
through the end of the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this? There was a lot of clamoring from the fan base for a Revolutionary War setup. So.
I was kind of in the other camp that I was hoping we'd kind of go Asian on it, kind of go Oriental on it.
So like samurai sort of stuff?
And be what's her face? I mean, they've shown this other person. I'm not sure if we've really seen who we're gonna. I mean, I know that the person's Americanized name is Connor, and this third one, and he also has a Native American name, which is long and unpronounceable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure we've seen the Asian girl that people were kind of hoping it to be, and I was kind of in that camp. That being said, I am not disappointed at all, really. And the final choice they ended up making.
Okay. So I believe this. Do you think this is going to end the Assassin's Creed? At least Desmond's story. Desmond is the guy in the near future who is being placed into a Matrix-esque machine, kind of. And he goes back in time because he's linked DNA. Through these assassins throughout the ages. So do you think this will actually end Desmond's storyline, or do you think it'll milk it more and more? I remember after playing Assassin's Creed 2 that everyone was kind of like groan. The reaction was kind of groan-worthy as to, like, oh, God, they didn't tell us.
We're still
they didn't
doing
tell us anything, and they're giving us more stuff that we don't know what the hell's going on with. So,
I mean, I definitely want it to be over. I don't think the Desmond story arc will end until this run of Assassin's Creed 3 games. That is, if they're gonna do the kind of the thing with like they did with Brotherhood and Revelations. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this will continue with that. But at the same time, that actually had more to deal with the person you were.
Ezio.
Yeah. What's it called? What do they do?
The assassins?
Yeah, to get into people.
They go in the Animus, right?
Animus, yeah, Animus. And I think that has more to do with what series number it is, not the Desmond thing. So I don't know. I mean, I hope the Desmond thing ends. Playing as him is certainly not fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's. If the Desmond thing doesn't end, at least maybe hopefully end it so that like he finds out what he needs to find out so he can implement it into the real world.
Yeah.
Into the present day world, as opposed to continuing to have to go back and, you know, like figure out whatever. I can't even remember what I played Assassin's Creed 2 so long ago, I can't even remember what he was trying to figure out, what they're trying to figure out.
Basically, they're trying to figure out how the world's going to end or something like that. I mean, it's something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds
about how the world ended a long time ago, like and how humanity started is what they've been researching.
Mm-hmm. Do we think... I'm kind of worried that they will have real... characters. Like, apparently, according to the press release from Ubisoft today, Connor is going to have a good relationship with George Washington.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a little worried about this.
And Ben Franklin is going to be in it also.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a little worried about this. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci wasn't much of a character in the first Assassin's Creed 2. I don't know about any of the offshoots. He was just basically a guy that was like, okay, thank you for bringing me this. I'm going to figure this shit out, and then you can come back after you steal some more stuff or whatever, you know?
Yeah, he hooks you up with some cool stuff in the other ones.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a little worried. I mean, especially since George Washington is supposed to be a good friend and not just, like, a Leonardo da Vinci clone, which apparently Ben Franklin isn't going to be completely a da Vinci clone either, but I don't know. I'm a little worried about how they're going to handle these Washington-Connor scenes.
Right.
So, I don't know about all that.
I mean, I think I would say the same thing if I knew anything else, anything more about the Renaissance era stuff ahead of time also. So, I think they'll do fine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're not really sure, obviously, until it happens.
As I said in the piece that I wrote last week about shooting, I think this time period could be pretty good still because... even though gun warfare is starting to become, you know, the thing to do, the muskets were not very accurate.
We're still not dealing with one badass gun that could kind of change, you know. People aren't going to be all equipped with semi-automatic pistols that can shoot people from 300 yards away. Or anything
yeah, exactly.
Like.
So clearly, stealth and sneaking and like climbing up stuff and killing someone with an axe.
It's still plausible
and probably even preferred if you're good at doing that sort of stuff as opposed to just shooting blindly a musket ball out there.
Yeah.
But
it will be interesting to see how the lack of cities kind of plays into it.
Yeah. It,
I mean, in the trailer, you only really see him flying around through some trees, not on rooftops.
Well, I believe in that press release they said it was going to be set between Boston and New York, correct?
They certainly mentioned those two cities, I think,
with
as being
Concord
in the game.
Being in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I think in that aspect, it's going to be a lot like the second one, Bagman, that you played, where you have a series of different locales to go to,
mm-hmm.
whereas in the other two, you just have this one giant map city that you kind of explore that gets unlocked as you go through the memory sequences.
Okay, okay. Yeah, it says New York and Boston... and then stops in between will include Lexington and Concord. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's not a lot of information, clearly. I mean, all this stuff just came out in a rush within the past week.
Yeah.
But,
it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Have you ever played Assassin's Creed 1?
I have not.
Oh, my God. I remember playing Assassin's Creed 1 with L.A. Jake that was on the podcast last week, just playing it in Iowa City during college, and it was the most boring thing ever.
Well, see, Batman, that's how I felt playing the second one after playing Brotherhood. That's why I think you should play some of these earlier ones. They made it a lot more, I don't want to say easier to kill people, but to string kills together, certainly. Like, in the second one, I kept getting surrounded by, you know, I'd be on a mission. My mission would be to go do something. I'd end up being surrounded by 8 people, and I'd have to basically kind of kill them all. But you could only kill them by countering them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to wait for someone to finally counter you, then you'd kill them, then you'd have to do that 7 more times, whereas in these newer ones, you can kind of string together your kills a little bit better.
It's more of like an open fighting system. Sort of
oh, dude, it's so much sweeter, yeah. And enjoyable to play and watch also.
Well, I mean, Assassin's Creed 1 was real bare bones. It was a lot of just climbing up stuff, jumping off of it, and then there was a lot more sneaking going on. Plus, the mission variability was...
Isn't that good? Yeah.
So.
Something that they've commented on that I've dealt with in Revelations, that Bagman obviously has this Den Defense game where it's basically just, if you've ever played any tower defense thing on, you know, any basic thing, it's basically just a modified version of that, where you set up, you know, traps, weapon things that to prevent the Templars from getting to your den. And it was just time consuming and not worth it at all in the game. But apparently they've taken it out for Assassin's Creed 3, which is awesome.
And you're very glad of that.
Yeah, not as much as some other people. I've definitely read things that were very scathing about it. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that bad. Especially once you actually kind of, it was really aggravating when you would lose, because you would lose your den and have to kind of go through things to get back to it. But once I got good at it and figured out how to kind of do it, it didn't really upset me too much.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think we've exhausted what we know about Assassin's Creed 3, unless you've got anything.
No, I got no inside looks on it.
Before we go, though, would you like to comment on what I wrote last week, and or would you like to comment on any other games that are soon coming out? Mainly, I guess, the biggest one would be Mass Effect 3, which I think comes out today, right?
And now you're lying. Actually, the Mass Effect games have always intrigued me a little bit, but I've never played any one. The big news for me that's happened in the past, I think even 12 hours maybe, mm-hmm. is that Amazon has listed a release date for Diablo 3, and that is April 17th, so that's very soon. But again, that's Amazon. Blizzard hasn't said anything. Blizzard's still with their 2012 release date. But maybe this will force their hand a little bit more, and we'll finally find out when it is Diablo 3 is going to come out.
Diablo 2 was great. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to play Diablo 3 since my computer is like 5 years old. So.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, my laptop's been really running the fan really high anytime I watch videos on it, so I'm actually really worried about it. But we'll see. I might only be playing Diablo 3 in 30-minute intervals.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, that's unconfirmed. We know for a fact that Mass Effect 3 comes out. You said you haven't played any Mass Effect 3.
I haven't played any of the games at all, and obviously if I was going to, I would probably start from the beginning and buy it and go up to it, since that's really how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, I've played Mass Effect 2. It's an action RPG, you know, it's not like a Japanese RPG or anything, so the story is a little lacking, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of it is...
It came out at midnight today. I'm assuming they had a midnight release for it, so it literally came out 15 minutes ago on the East Coast.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically it's a lot of... I mean, there's a little story. Basically what it is these... The main storyline revolves around these bad aliens, like, coming over and taking over the universe, basically, and everyone's afraid of them, but your main character's the only guy that has been able to defeat them in battle at all or anything.
Mm.
But, like, you know, that's basically all the story. The rest of the story is, like, either random side missions, you fly around in, like, a real, like, mid-1990s space sort of game where, like, you just have, like, this little... spaceship go across the screen, and then you, like, scan planets for, like, sometimes you'll get like beacons or something, and then you go on that, and it's just like a little side mission. So like the story isn't that engaging at all. It looks like Mass Effect 3 is going to be much more so, especially with this whole take back the Earth sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned Mass Effect 3 in that article I wrote last week, as it is mainly most of the gameplay that's not like building up relationships is based around you shooting people, like in an action RPG sort of way. It's not like a Modern Warfare 3 where you just run around killing as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive because like some of the locales are cool and the graphics are cool. But I don't know if I'm really all that into
invested in.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of some of the gameplay as well, like I said, is based around building up relationships. Like they've got the whole sort of good and bad meter going on, where like if you do good deeds, then you get to unlock special things. If you do bad deeds, you get to unlock special things. But so far in Mass Effect 2, really, like, I mean, you know, you do good things for your teammates or whatever, but it's not like it has much bearing on the story or anything. Like, right. You don't have to do those things or anything.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it would be nice if they had a more focused storyline, I think. Like, Mass Effect 2 was cool, but the fact that the storyline wasn't that focused and, like, you were just doing things to do them as opposed to having to do them in some cases just seemed, you know, it didn't really pull you in as much as you might want to, so I don't know. That's my comment on Mass Effect 3.
How much do guns play into it, Bagman?
Guns are that's the only way to fight people, basically.
No good.
I know. I'm not big in the gunplay, as I wrote last week.
Bagman wrote a very deep, very very good article about just games relying on guns too much, and it brings up something kind of interesting. I mean. I know some of my most fun kind of stuff is when you get so good at the game that you don't have to use guns anymore, and you can roll around with whatever the most rudimentary weapon is. So anyway,
give us an example of that.
Just thought I'd toss it out there. Well, like in GoldenEye, I just roll around with a dagger, you know?
Okay, well, GoldenEye's a little different than
Doom. You can do that with a chainsaw, you know? It's just stuff like that.
I mean. A lot of these games, I mean...
A more modern reference, I guess, would be Gears of War. I'll just run around trying to get people with the chainsaw part of my gun and not my actual gun, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe most of the games that I play don't have those kind of cool weapons where it's like, oh, well, I do, in fact, have, like, a sword that I could use or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that even goes back into Halo with the sword that you can get in Halo that's really badass, the energy sword.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sorry.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, clearly, I understand, like, the war games, you know, out there. People like that sort of stuff, and it's fine to be shooting in those. But,
yeah.
I mean, like, I was talking about the Uncharted series last in that article, and it just seems like a lot of what I love about Uncharted has nothing to do with shooting people. It's like climbing stuff. And, you know, just climbing stuff, finding different routes and stuff like that. And it's a very cinematic game, so it feels like when you're just hiding behind a huge rock trying to not get killed, it just doesn't...
Loses its luster, so...
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that's what it should be, so...
I got you.
I don't know. But in any case, I believe this podcast has run its course.
Clearly. Yeah, it's time for me to finish Season 4 of Lost.
Yes, it is. Like I said, we will be coming at you every week. Probably we'll start coming out with these Game of Thrones / Mad Men recap podcasts on Monday as opposed to Tuesday. The only reason we waited till Tuesday today is because all this Assassin's Creed 3 information was dropped today. So, but yeah, we'll be coming back with these podcasts. Of course, check out the website in-the-bag2gs.com.
2Gs, son.
Usually we update that every day. We should be getting multiple updates a day very, very soon, so come check us out over there. And other than that, I guess we'll talk to you guys next week.
Indeed.